not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, October 16th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours, and yes, I'm back. Took a little trip over the weekend, had 4 days off, as you know, and I want to put out a thank you to Tim Wingate for co-hosting for me Friday and Monday. Went up to the Bay Area, went to a class reunion, and they combined three classes, the class of 66, 7, and 68. I was the class of 68. Going to talk about that a little bit in the second hour, tell you some of the interesting experiences I had. First hour coming up, Tommy Crier. We're going to chat with him. As you know, Tommy has a show on the RBN Network on Saturdays. Tommy is the attorney that beat the IRS on a willful failure to file. That should be an interesting interview. But before we get into that, I want to remind everybody about the bumper stickers. By the way, I went to my mailbox when I got back, and it was full. I want to thank Julie. I got my bumper stickers in the mail. Yay! And they're really attractive. They've got a white background, which is going to go real nice with the car. And let's see. Also, remember, folks, if you haven't already done so, call the network at 800-724-2719. Order yourself the free book on the Constitution and the Citizens Rule Book. We're going to add in the bumper stickers, as many cars as you let us know you have. Slap them on your car, and our numbers are climbing a little bit. So we thank you for that. Also, no, I don't want you to stop at that. If you have the opportunity and you can lead it into a conversation, of course, I want you to invite your friends, neighbors, relatives, aunts, uncles, brothers, cousins to have a listen to RBN, because we're exposing the truth, and the truth needs to get out. Also in my mailbox, and I wanted to make a point of this, I got my coral calcium in the mail. I'm really looking forward to trying this stuff because it's very inexpensive, number one. I had, if you recall, Bob Barefoot on my show a few weeks ago, and this guy just sounded like he had boundless energy. And I don't remember exactly his age, but I'm thinking it was somewhere around 73, 74 years old, somewhere in that range. At any rate, I open up this box, and I've got this guy smiling at me, a picture of Bob Barefoot on the front of this coral calcium. And by the way, you can purchase this through Lumetco products. There's a banner up on my website at www.theamericanawakening.org. But I'm looking at this guy. He's 71, 73, something like this. And this guy, I looked at this guy, he's smiling brightly. He reminds me of a vibrant Neil Sedaka. For any of you who know Neil Sedaka, my wife and I saw him about, a year and a half ago or so. And it was, what was it, New Year's, I think, of 2006. And the guy was just jumping around the stage. You know, I think he's about 65, 66 years old now, something like that. I was a fan of his when back in the early 60s with Calendar Girl and that sort of thing. But that was the first thing that hit my mind when I saw this guy. I mean, the guy just emanates. His picture almost jumps off the bottle here. He just looks like he's just beaming with health. So I'm really looking forward to trying this product. I dropped a couple of them today, one this morning and one just after lunch here. And, with all the accolades he was giving about this product, I would suggest, as inexpensive as it is, you go into www.theamericanawakening.org, order a bottle for yourself and try it. But I'll keep you posted on the results. Also, I want to put out a quick reminder, folks, gold is climbing exponentially. If you have not already, give Robbie Noel a call at 800-691-7898. Tell him I told you to call him. If you have any type of assets, CDs, stocks, bonds, whatever that you want to convert, now's the time to do it. We'll be back in 3 with my guest, Tommy Crier. Stick with us. We've got a great show for you today. Be right back.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special. Pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Come a little bit closer. I want you to come really, really close and hear what Tommy Cryer has to say today. Tommy Cryer is kind of a hero to me because not only does he have a show on this network, same time as myself, 2 to 4 Central on Saturdays, but he's one of these unique individuals that actually won a victory against the Internal Revenue Service, something that, it's rather unique. Without any further ado, I want to bring Mr. Tommy Cryer up. Sir, welcome to the American Awakening. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike, and how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'll tell you what, just a second. Kerry, there's a little feedback on my end, so you want to turn down the feedback a little bit. Thank you, Tommy. Yeah, I kind of halfway followed your case, Tommy, when you went up against the Internal Revenue Service, and I wanted to ask you, by the way, I'm very honored to have you on my show, sir. Anybody that can go in, stand up against the Internal Revenue Service and win a victory, I give kudos to. I've had my own ongoing war with them for the past 13 years, and I wanted to ask, at what point and how did you wind up getting into being an attorney, Tommy? You obviously were one, you know, individual. You passed the bar. You went into practice. You paid your taxes for so many years, I'm assuming, and then at some point you had made a decision to stop filing. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, but attorneys don't know really any more about tax laws than anybody else because that generally isn't, unless you're going to specialize in tax law, that isn't an area that most people study in law school. And on your constitutional studies, those portions of the Constitution that govern the taxing authority of the federal government aren't really given a lot of attention, if any, really. I don't recall any discussion during any of the constitutional studies, and that was a very strong area of mine, that dealt with taxing authority. So attorneys go into the world the same way everybody else does, believing, like they've been told all their lives, that everybody is required to file taxes, that everybody is liable for the income tax, and that everything that comes in is income, none of which are true.
Well, at what point did you, at what point did a red flag come up? Excuse me, just Carrie, please, you need to turn the feedback down. I'm hearing myself. Go ahead, Tommy. At what point did a red flag come up where you decided to investigate a little further?
I think it was in 94, a fellow had contended that there was no liability provision in the code, and that the tax was therefore merely a voluntary tax that one might or might not file at their own option. I wasn't so, I thought he was wacky. I thought he was funny, and I laughed at him, as a matter of fact. The problem is that a friend of mine did not laugh at him and decided that based upon what this fellow had showed him, he was going to stop paying taxes, stop filing returns. And I didn't want this friend of mine in trouble. On top of that, this other fellow came in on the second run with a lot of materials to show me how much he knew about all of this. And of course, everybody knows. Everybody has to file taxes. Everybody knows that the tax laws apply to all of us and that everything that comes in is income. Of course, at one point, everybody knew that the world was flat and that the sun revolved around the earth.
Good point.
they all knew that, too. But yeah, at that point, I determined, I'm going to have to dig up and show this guy the liability provision. And it took several weeks before, really a couple of weeks before I got started on it. But I did. I went to the library because my USCA is a little hard to go through. And it wasn't really current. And I went to the law library, and I studied up. I dug the books out, and I said, it'll be really easy to find. It'll be right there at the beginning, because that's one of the key things that every tax law has, is who has to pay it. It wasn't there. I dug some more still, couldn't find it. Dug some more, finally found it. And the liability provision is Section 1461, and it said that those who are required to withhold taxes on non-resident aliens and foreign corporations are liable for the income tax. So I looked at other taxes, because I'm giving this thing what lawyers call strict construction. I'm reading the law literally. And if I looked at some other tax laws to see if maybe they do it different for federal. I looked at 25 other tax laws in the Internal Revenue Code. And every one of them clearly and distinctly identifies those who are liable for that particular tax. I went back to the subtitle A, which is the income tax law, looked some more. I found a provision that said that employers are liable for the taxes they withhold on employees, but there's nothing in the code that says the employee is liable for the tax in the first place. I found a provision that said that a partner is liable for the taxes owed by the partnership, but there's not only in his individual capacity, but there's nothing showing what individual capacity would be liable on his part in the first place. So I did find the provision, but it didn't apply to any of us. And so I started digging, and I spent the next 2 years digging up the rest of the bones. I wasn't part of any particular group or school of thought, or I didn't know anything about the tax honesty movement, didn't know it existed. And so all of my research was done from scratch without any preconceived notions And the way I do legal research is I'm not out trying to prove something. I'm out trying to find out what the law is. And that's what I did. And the law's real clear. The law is not confusing. It's not difficult. It's not complicated. And that is that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we're not made liable. 99.44% of us are not made liable for the income tax. And if we're not liable, we're not required to file a return.
Well, they seem to go to great lengths to confuse that particular issue, Tommy. My next curiosity would be, at what point in time, I know you were doing this research more for your friend than for you, but number one, at what point in time did you decide, well, you know what, I can find no liability here, I'm no longer going to file, and also, did you inform the Internal Revenue Service that you were no longer going to file, or did you just stop?
I did a little bit of a combination of the two. I started sending in order to put them on notice that I owed no more taxes. I determined that I wasn't going to pay any more taxes voluntarily, that they were going to have to show me where, you know, there was going to be, there was some basis in law for their demand, that I either file a return and give them my personal financial information, which is none of their business, or pay them part of my hard-earned money, which wasn't a whole lot to start with, but doggone it, was all mine. And unless they could show me some legal basis for their demand to share in it, I wasn't going to share with them voluntarily. I put them on notice to that effect, at least indirectly, by sending in what I felt was about the only way to tell them that there was zero earned. And I used a automatic extension form. And while before I'd used many of those before, I'd always put in the estimated amount of tax and paid the tax with it, which is what it requires you to do. But in these, I always put zero amount due, none. And I sent that to them. I'm not going to owe you any taxes for this year. Then ultimately, they did come in and start demanding returns and then start demanding information. Some of those were illegal demands, you know, not lawful demands, right? Not illegal like it's a crime, but not a legally made demand or request for information or documents. But, and we went to town.
Well, we know that in their Privacy Act notice, they exert that they indeed do have the right to ask, which scares the pants off most people. But what isn't stipulated in the Privacy Act is that, you know, you don't have to respond.
Well, that's part of the Paper Reduction Act requirements, is that they have to notify you whether a response is mandatory or voluntary on your part. Because if they don't, you're not aware or haven't been made aware that you have any rights that you are waiving by or giving up by responding. Just like Mirandizing a guy who is taken into custody or is being questioned after having become the target of an investigation, he doesn't know that he's waiving his Fifth Amendment rights. If he doesn't know that he's a target and that he has a right to remain silent, then if he speaks, then he's waived something.
Right. They specify this, Tommy, in this Paperwork Reduction Act notice. They say that, you know, it's either they have to tell you whether it's mandatory or voluntary. But anybody that I've ever spoken with, including myself, when they send you a notice for a willful failure to file 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, they don't come out and stipulate under section so-and-so that, you know, you're required to file and you didn't file. They will word it in such a way, they'll say, we haven't received your return for 2003. If you feel you're not required to file, please tell us why. And then they give you about 1 inch of space to do so. Now, to me, that is not being in compliance with this Paperwork Reduction Act notice.
Well, it may not be a request for information. It may be a request for your position. But a request for information would be information about what you've done, where you've gone, how much money you've made, where you keep your money, who has your money, who pays you interest, who do you pay interest. That's information, and documents that would be in relation to that information would be a request for documents.
I see. Okay.
Both of those are governed by the Paperwork Reduction Act.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. My guest, Tommy Kramer, will be back in 3 minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. We've got much more. Stick with us.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, attorney Tommy Kramer. Tommy, okay, so you were obviously entered into a paper war with these people, and they're making demands to produce books, records, and so forth and so on. And how long did this go on?
Well, it went on from 2001 and, all the way up till they indicted me in October of 2006. Off and on. Initially, they decided they were going to show me who's false. The little gal who was the IRS employee assigned to this, and who I told I would be happy to file if she would just show me that she's entitled to a return and happy to pay if she would just show me that she was entitled to a tax. But I didn't know of any. I don't know of any taxes I owe. I don't know of any returns I'm required to file with you. But I want to obey the law. I want to stay in compliance with the law. So just show me where I have any, and I'll certainly take care of it right away. Well, she was offended by that, but mostly offended, of course, by my suggestion that she was bound by the law, beneath the law. It was an insult to her. She decided to take action and show me who was really the boss and who was the peasant. She did a really manly thing. I went and served a summons on my secretary to drag her in for interrogation. You know, it's like dealing with kids on a school ground. You know, poke your eye out or something. You know, just these people, and some of them know that they're committing a fraud. I know that some of them know because I've told them, and so I know that those know. This little gal, for some reason or other, I think she might have been among those that didn't know. For all I know, those agents who, you know, have trouble reading their GED without moving their lips might be innocent, you know, but I doubt it. I think they all know by now. It's been too much spread around too far, too many times. And when you look at the paperwork that they ship out to people, truthattack.org had its folks sending letters to the IRS and to congressmen and to senators demanding that this unlawful practice of taking money that didn't belong to them cease. They responded by sending out a packet of information debunking all tax protester arguments. None of the 3 points that were raised in those letters have been addressed in any IRS publication or any IRS position paper. None. Not one.
Absolutely unbelievable.
And yet they say they say this takes care of every tax protester argument's been completely refuted by this. And when they on the ones that they do list, they like listing the tinfoil hat stuff, like the UCC business and the yellow fringe on the flag crud, or the I'm a non-resident alien, and that the United States is nothing but the District of Columbia, and that Puerto Rico is a foreign corporation. I mean, that the IRS is a Puerto Rican corporation. You know, they like raising the nutty stuff to make everybody who disagrees with them appear to be nut. But the thing is, they don't. They're totally silent with respect to the issue, number one, as to liability for the tax. Number two, how and on what basis do they categorize earnings, personal earnings, as 100% profit income in exchange for nothing. And three, none of those arguments that they put forward addresses the issue of whether or not the right to work is a fundamental right. The right to work for a living and earn a living is a fundamental right protected by the Constitution and exempt from taxation in the first place.
Right. Your labor is your property and as such cannot be taxed.
Your labor is your property and it can't be taxed it can be taxed, but it has to be taxed by sending a bill to the state. It has to be apportioned as a direct tax. And if your labor is your property, it's certainly not income. If you bought a widget for $2 and sold it for $3, and they're not going to tax you for the $3, they're going to tax you for the dollar. That's what they're going to claim as income because that's the profit, the gain. You got your $2 back, it doesn't get taxed, right?
Right.
Well, what about your labor? Do you get your labor back? No, they want to tax that too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when they tax the whole thing, they can't tax that $3 without taxing your $2 capital. That'd be a property tax. Well, why isn't it a property tax when they tax your entire wage or purport to tax it, and including the labor that you gave up for it? They're contending that your labor and your time and your lifetime and your work lifespan that are depleted in the course of earning a living are worthless because that's the only way that you could get 100% profit is for your cost to be zero. If your cost basis for your wage is zero, that means that everything that it costs you, time out of your workspan lifespan, time out of your lifespan, which is your property, your labor, which is your property, your energy that you produce, which is your property, all of those things are worth zero, according to the IRS. You are totally worthless. You know, you're beneath, you know, even a slave has value.
Well, we're considered a human resource, Tommy.
Yeah, we're cattle that are being milked. And whenever the milk stops, we're sent off for slaughter.
Right. Okay, we got to take a break, Tommy. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special, very knowledgeable guest, attorney Tommy Crier. See you in a bit. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit. I've got a couple of specific questions for Mr. Crier. They'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special, very knowledgeable guest, Tommy Crier. And Tommy, I wanted to ask you, you had asserted a few minutes ago that, in your opinion, most, if not all, of these IRS agents probably now know the truth. So that basically there's a moral decision that these people have to make as to even continuing their job, and they're obviously kept there by their high salaries and pension plans. But in your mind, do you see, because of the works of Aaron Russo and the other, you know, activists that are out there pushing to get the truth out there, plus the fact that, you know, knowledgeable people such as yourself, such as this case a couple of weeks ago where these 9 defendants were acquitted, do you see that this charade is starting to fall apart because of our efforts?
I see that it can. I don't believe that it is. I don't think we're there. I don't think we've cracked it yet, but we've been chipping at it pretty good lately. And the main reason is that we're starting to take the war to where it should have been taken in the first place. And that is on, you know, on the field of public opinion. Up until now, and I include myself in this, in that bunch that I'm fixing about to describe, those of us who learn the truth, felt compelled to act. I felt compelled to do something about it, and rather than just sit back and complain. I sometimes question the wisdom of that decision, my own included, although I didn't feel I really had a choice in the matter. I had taken an oath and it was obligated. It was either violate the oath or stay with the course and challenge them. And so but most folks do have an option, and yet they feel just as compelled as I did to do something. And they crawl into the cave, usually with a magic rubber knife that some snake oil peddler has sold them. Mm-hmm. And they've got on their tinfoil cap for their invincibility magical powers. They've got a rolled up in their back pocket a Reliance package they paid $950 for. It says that they can't touch you if you have these letters from attorneys and accountants. And they're in the cave, and once they do that, they go inside. The IRS, the beast, now defines reality. The beast decides who is in, who's out, who's safe. The beast decides what's a fair ball, what's a foul ball. And the beast keeps a scoreboard. And there is no invincibility. And you have no rights. And you have no control over the outcome, while the beast controls everything. Outside the cave, it's just the opposite. Outside the cave, in the light of public scrutiny, the people decide what's a fair ball and what's a foul ball. The people keep a score. The people say who's safe, who's out. And ultimately, public opinion will determine who wins. So by fighting out here, now the situation is totally reversed, because out here we define reality, not the beast. And the truth is something that we can recognize. And so out here we're fighting with a sword, truth. And the beast is coming out with the rubber knife in his hand. He's the one with the fake truth. He's the one that his position is based on falsehoods. They can be proven. The position of truthattack.org, for example, is totally irrefutable. The IRS cannot, has not, and never will be able to refute the message that truthattack.org is trying to get out to everybody. The big difference now is that now that we have this way to fight, we don't have to keep creating martyrs. We have enough martyrs. What we need is victors. And the way we get victors is by picking and choosing our fights very carefully. If we were going to storm Normandy tomorrow morning, as much as I would love to be right there with everybody, I'm 58 years old. I'm overweight. I've got a bad back. My sciatic today is killing me. So I've spent hours on an airplane this last 3 days.
Boy, well, you and I have much in common, my friend.
We're broken down old mules.
Well, and on an airplane in the last few days. Go ahead.
And I've had two heart attacks, a bad back. I wouldn't be on Normandy, but I would be doing something for the war effort to free up an able-bodied man to be on Normandy. I'd be out here baking bullets, or I'd be running wearing harnesses and a P-52 or something like that. I'd be doing something I could do. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody isn't equipped to go into legal combat with the Internal Revenue Service. And a lot of people that know in their good faith, they're good, hardworking, honest, determined, patriotic Americans. They know the truth now. But that doesn't mean that they can articulate that truth in a way that the jury understands it and can see the truth in it. And that doesn't mean particularly they can even get a chance to tell that truth whenever they feel compelled to go out, either because of their financial limitations or because of, in some cases, just an out-and-out hatred for lawyers that has been bred and fostered and nurtured in the community by the snake oil peddlers who don't want their customers to find out that they're selling tinfoil hats and rubber knives.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in pro se, and they're not equipped to try a case.
Well, let me insert something here, Tommy, because that was going to be my next question. Off the record, not from a professional standpoint, but only from your experience, do you have any advice that you would give for somebody who has filed tax returns, has found out that this is, you know, basically they're perpetuating a fraud? Is there any sort of remedy for an individual in that capacity?
Who has or has not?
Who has. Who has but hasn't paid.
An individual who has filed and paid, if he goes through the process and under protest, can, but he has to exhaust all of his administrative remedies, which means he really has to contest the process through, mm-hmm. and then pay under protest when finally ordered to do so, can then file a suit in federal court to get the money back. Now, what that amounts to is that he can go and ask the fox to give him a hen count.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like getting a hen count from the fox. I mean, you have to remember the courts are in complicity with this. The courts know. Now, these federal judges, although they are appointed based upon their political connections more than their mental and intellectual ability, they still have to demonstrate that they have something going for them upstairs in order to put together a good enough resume to justify their nomination and confirmation.
Right.
All right, so these guys aren't idiots. I mean, they're not stupid. They can read the law just the same as I can. And they know what's going on. And whenever you see these judges twisting and turning in the wind, and they're spending 30 pages on a three-page decision just to get away from the law and to find a way to ignore it or to bypass it or to distinguish it, you realize that the courts are just a subdivision of the Internal Revenue Service. And whether that's out because they share in the goal of the Internal Revenue Service, that is to siphon off the wealth of the middle class, or they're just merely doing it out of cowardice. What's the difference between cowardice and avarice to the victim? So as far as a remedy is concerned, I think there's a remedy on paper, but as a practical matter, I don't think that it's a worthwhile endeavor for a taxpayer to try to pursue these issues with a suit to recover.
Well, it would seem from my perspective that, you know, you protest it all the way through, then ultimately at the end you wind up paying the tax and then file suit. I mean, the money's there, and from what I've seen, you know, in the case of Larkin Rose, Zed and Elaine Brown, and so forth, the deck is stacked so far in their favor, in evidentiary hearings and so forth, that, you know, you're in a crapshoot with loaded dice.
Well, even loaded dice could roll something besides a seven, you know, if they don't land right. It's just that they roll a seven more often than not, more often than they should. So I would think that your stacked deck would be a better analogy. The deck is stacked against them. The field is on a, you know, 45-degree pitch. It's not a level playing field. The government is allowed to put forth evidence as to legal conclusions right and left, and from people who are not qualified to make those conclusions, usually some bureaucrat, like I said, the guy with a GED that he can't read without moving his lips. And he's giving legal conclusions, but if the defendant tries to testify about the law, he's slammed up and shut up and clammed and obstaculized. I like that word. He's pinned and cornered and put in a squeeze chute and said you can't do that because you can't testify about the law.
Irwin Schiff comes to mind. I mean, look what they did to that man in the court.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then whenever it gets to appeals, they just look the other way. They duck their heads and they look the other way. And you wonder how can they look any man or woman or person in the eye from that day forward. How could they have any regard for themselves, any pride, any kind of self-respect? after doing that. It's just beyond me.
Tommy, I wanted to shift gears here for just a moment because I wanted to talk for a moment about Edna Lane Brown. Now, I don't know whether you are aware of this or not, but back in June, John Stadtmiller and I taxied Randy Weaver up to Plainfield, New Hampshire. And I had a plan. I noticed that Judge McAuliffe had filed an appeal on behalf of Ed Brown. Now, that's not a standard procedure for a judge to do, is it?
I don't know what – I really don't have any information about that particular step. Now, okay. Judge McAuliffe, was he the trial judge?
He was the trial judge. And
now, what he might have done there was just because of the absence of the defendant, he may very well have lodged an appeal for the purpose of obtaining review or preserving their right to have the case reviewed, mm-hmm. just out of a preservation of their rights because they were not there to preserve them for themselves. So I don't know. I'm guessing. That is a pure stab in the dark.
Okay. Now, I'm not an attorney, but now since you are, I'm going to raise this question to see, if indeed I was correct. I had thought of a plan to take Randy Weaver up there and to go in, take Randy Weaver in and talk to the judge. Now, I was under the impression, and it seems like I have seen this happen in the past, where a judge would review the transcripts of a case even though there was a guilty verdict and toss it out on a technicality. That is possible, is it not?
It is possible to this extent that if the judge can find that there is no scintilla of evidence to support a particular and necessary element of proof of the crime, that he can issue a judgment NOV, non obstante verdicto, notwithstanding the verdict. He can counteract and issue a judgment of acquittal contrary to the verdict of the jury, but only where there is zero evidence relative to a particular element. Now, so that people listening know what I'm talking about when I say element, every crime consists of elements. For example, a crime of theft involves an element of a taking, an element of an intentional taking, and the element of an intent to keep and to secure as one's own or to the against the rights of the owner. Those elements have to be proven in order to say it's a theft, because if somebody picks up a purse thinking it's theirs and she walks off with the wrong purse, how many times have you started to walk off in a grocery store with the wrong buggy and then realize, hey, this isn't my buggy, it's somebody else's? That wouldn't be a theft. So the element of intent would be absent there. And so the crime wasn't committed, even though the act was. So if he could find that there was no scintilla, meaning that there was nothing upon which a jury could have based a finding that there was the requisite intent or the requisite willfulness in this case, then he could do that. But otherwise, he cannot.
Okay, but Tommy, as we know, the Browns had been petitioning the Internal Revenue Service for several years to simply show them the law and they would pay the tax. But what I wanted to get from you, I had entertained this thought, came up with this idea, took Randy Weaver up there, and ultimately we were going to go in and talk to the judge about this. I was going to kind of tie in the fact that Judge McAuliffe's wife was a hero, died in the shuttle disaster, and that Randy Weaver, suffered the same loss from his wife from the federal government while there was the standoff going on there. In your professional, in your legal mind, do you think that there wouldn't have been one scintilla of a possibility that I could have convince the judge to at least take another look at it?
No, but I'll tell you why. Because the primary issue on willfulness that you could have made an appeal on would be that there were prior filings by the Browns. I'm told. I don't know that to be a fact, but I'm told that in previous years, prior to their discovery, that they had filed tax returns. This is enough evidence for the jury to find that they were aware of an obligation to file and pay. Now, the question, of course, now you and I know that awareness was just like, you know, finding out that the Earth is not flat after all, you know, and that the sun does not revolve around the Earth. Those discoveries were made, you know, what they knew changed. But the jury can disregard everything. Anything that they don't believe, they can totally disregard it, so it's what David said. But they cannot invent something that was not said. So once it was shown that they had filed in previous years, then there was a basis for a finding of willfulness that would prevent. Now, what you might have been able to do, but it has to be asked for, it can't be done, or it can't technically be done by the judge on his own motion, but it wouldn't be. It ain't going to happen. But the judge can order a new trial. The judge can say there was an error committed in the trial, so prejudicial to the defendant that he was denied due process, that he was denied a fair trial, and therefore we have to do this again because we shouldn't convict anybody with anything less than a fair trial. And that would be a motion for new trial. And I did suggest that at one point, that would be a way out of the impasse, but my suggestion was not accepted.
Okay. We'll be back in three. Thank you for that answer, Tommy. Final segment with Tommy Cryer coming up. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Final final segment, first hour, with my special guest, Tommy Cryer. Tommy, I wanted to ask you one more quick thing on Ed and Elaine. At this particular juncture, with them now being incarcerated, is there any possible remedy on this, or are they just going to be serving out their sentence?
I still think that there is a potential. I don't know. I don't believe the time has run for them to petition the court for another trial. I think that that Ed and leaving the trial mid game and not being present, and although, you know, on the face of it appears to be of his own volition, maybe it wasn't. Maybe he wasn't present because he suffered a panic response to the circumstances that he found himself in. Maybe he was unable to bring himself back to court under those conditions. Maybe there was something else there that interfered with his proceeding with his own defense. You know, he should have done that to start with, but I mean, the fact that perhaps something medical interfered with his continuing. Well, if he had suffered a heart attack or a stroke, then certainly you wouldn't keep trying the guy, and if you did, you'd give him another trial. I think that that should be explored. I think that medical help ought to be secured and examinations done to see if perhaps we cannot go in and ask the court to give these people a whole trial instead of a half of a trial.
Very good point. And in closing, Tommy, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel in this perpetuation of this fraud?
I see a light at this end of the tunnel, and we're headed to the other end with it. And it's going through truthattack.org. And these people are out there. We're now scattering signs out. We've got 1,000 signs in the room next to my office that we'll be shipping out in the next month or so. What income tax, truthattack.org. Next April 15th, every post office will have one of those signs out, or two or three or four of those signs out there in front of it, where all the cars are lined up paying their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got letters going out to congressmen, and eventually those letters are going to hit them enough to where they're going to think the jig is up. They're going to jump ship, and they're going to start screaming at the IRS, "I can't believe you're doing this to my constituents. How dare you do this?" Like they didn't know. And we don't care. Let the weasels jump. But the point is, the truth is going to get out there, not among us, the tax honesty community, but among the general public. And once you establish an issue in the general public aware, make them aware of the issue, and once people begin to realize these are genuine issues, not frivolous issues, they won't be able to convict anybody. The beast teeth will be pulled.
Well, that
and
was really
then at that yeah, point, they're going to have to find another way to go about it, and the only way they're going to be able to find a way under our scrutiny of the organization as big as this one will be that time, because it'll involve the general public, is to do it properly.
So
yeah, I do see the light at the end of the tunnel, but the light's starting on this end instead of the other.
Right. So in your estimation, I mean, through this journey of shining said light, if you will, you see more and more, because of the efforts of Aaron Russo and yourselves with truthattack.org, that ultimately there's going to be more and more cases that are going to be acquitted based on the knowledge that the general public is seeing.
I think that the contribution Aaron Russo has made to this has been tremendous, and I think that we've got to follow up on that, though, because if we take a step and stop, we're not going to get there that way. You got to take a step, take another, and we need to start winning.
All right. Tommy Cryer, thank you so much. I am honored
to
have you.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. All right. Tommy Cryer, he's got a show on Saturdays, folks, 2 to 4 Central Time. Tune in for him. It's the Lie Free Zone. I'll be listening. Be back in 2 minutes, second hour. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my journey up north. Be right back.
I'm not ready to back down.